This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at the precarious position that the National Vietnam Veterans Art Museum in Chicago is in as we approach this Veterans Day weekend. We'll also get a forecast for the weekend from meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, a look at today's news. Tracy Parsons says the Champaign County Urban League would be better served under new leadership. The president and CEO of 13 years stepped down yesterday. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has more.
Parsons says the agency's last year has been particularly stressful and demanding. The Urban League lost out on $3 million in state grants and is in the midst of a court battle with the state over who owes for hundreds of thousands in energy assistance programs. But Parsons says he's accomplished most of his goals, expanding the agency's scope of programs and services. And he calls his time in the job a learning experience that he'll take with him.
Whether it's politics, whether it's government, whether it's schools, whether it's, you know, just a whole host of social issues and really been working on solutions to solve them. And so professionally, I've just grown tremendously. It's been a wonderful position for learning, building relationships, not only here locally, but across the country.
Staff at the Urban League has grown from 12 to more than 60 members with Parsons as president. The Urbana native says he's not sure what he'll do next, but will serve in a consulting role to help the agency find a replacement for him. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
A University of Illinois faculty senate panel will work out a new agreement between the U of I and supporters of a fund on free market ideals. The Academy on Capitalism and Limited Government Fund was launched last month as a means for luring in grant funds for teaching free market capitalism and related principles. The head of the university's panel, law professor Tom Ulan, says there were two specific problems in the language of the memorandum that weren't consistent with the university and its policies. The U of I Senate, a group of students and faculty, recently endorsed the panel's work. Ulan says the memo's changes, as requested by Chancellor Richard Herman, should be put in the agreement next week.
Our bottom line was we're extraordinarily grateful to the donors for their goodwill towards the university, as manifested by their willingness to support us, but we want to go back to the drawing board, or we suggest they go back to the drawing board with the university and redo the agreement in light of those two criticisms.
Ulan says the first problem in the memorandum's language dealt with content neutrality. He says the Academy's note that would provide speeches, research, and conferences that aimed at a particular outcome was contrary to that policy. The other portion of the agreement was criticized would have allowed for an extramural body appointed by donors to make judgments about courses and conferences. Ulan says the donors to the Academy Fund seem receptive to redoing the agreement. Illinois would host two more casinos under a plan by the governor and leading state lawmakers. Most of the money would go toward building up the state's infrastructure. As Amanda Vinicky reports, elementary and high schools would also get a windfall.
It's unclear just how much money Illinois would make from their proposed gambling expansion, but no matter what, Illinois would reap billions from selling the licenses to operate casinos and from the subsequent taxes the new casinos would pay. The current plan puts 70% of the money into what's known as capital, road, bridge, and building construction. 30% of the proceeds would go into Illinois' classrooms. Senate Republican leader Frank Watson of Greenville says he's all right with that split.
The bigger the capital bill, the better as far as I'm concerned, but I'm not opposed to the 30% that's being allocated to education.
One of Illinois' leading teachers' unions says money from casinos is not the ideal funding stream, but the union does favor the concept. Some critics say it's unethical, though. They say the state should not educate kids, only to rely on their forming gambling habits later in life to fill state coffers. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Indiana House Democrats say they want to start working on Governor Mitch Daniels' property tax relief proposal before the legislature begins in January. Speaker Pat Bauer says they want to file it on Organization Day, November 20th, and then hold at least one or two hearings in December. Senate Republican leaders have said they'll introduce at least 10 bills incorporating parts of Daniels' plan on November 20th, and they also want to hold hearings on them in December. Yesterday, Bauer said that House Ways and Means Chairman William Crawford would sponsor Daniels' bill as one piece of legislation. Daniels says he appreciates Bauer's sense of urgency and his plan to use the Republican bill as the framework for property tax relief. The U.S. Department of Energy says a pair of Illinois sites remain in the running for a major clean coal technology plant. Sean Crawford has more.
Illinois' bid to become home to the future gen plant got another boost. A Department of Energy environmental impact statement shows the agency finds both Illinois locations and two in Texas as acceptable. The report has yet to be released, but the findings are confirmed by several Illinois congressmen who've seen it. A final decision on the federal project is expected in December. Two Illinois sites are finalists, Mattoon and Tuscola, both in the east central part of the state. The project would bring over 1,000 construction jobs and about 150 permanent ones. FutureGen will be a research facility creating energy from coal. The plant will sequester carbon dioxide emissions in the rock below the Earth's surface. I'm Sean Crawford.
Archer Daniels Midland shareholders entered yesterday's annual meeting in Decatur past two banners questioning the company's environmental policies. Kayla Salazar-Lopez of the Rainforest Action Network led a small protest. She says ADM and other processors of biofuel crops are creating more damage to the global environment than they purport to correct.
These soy and palm oil operations by U.S. agribusiness companies are destroying tropical rainforests and ecosystems and displacing communities, indigenous traditional communities, and also small farmers from their lands.
ADM's David Weintraub says his company does not directly farm in Brazil and other sensitive areas, though it buys large amounts of crops produced there. He says his company is listening to concerns for environmental and human rights standards.
Our commitment to human rights is expressed in the ADM way, which is available on our website. That's our code of ethics and business practices. And there's a clear statement against forced labor or violations of human rights.
ADM pointed to that policy in recommending yesterday against a stockholders' resolution on global standards. That resolution was voted down. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. For the past decade, the National Vietnam Veterans Art Museum in Chicago has been home to the paintings, photos, and sculptures of veteran artists around the country. But financial problems have left the museum with few resources for a sustainable future in its current location. At the same time, the museum's quickly becoming a destination for a new generation of artwork, that of recent veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Illinois Public Radio's Stephanie Lecce reports.
Visitors to the National Vietnam Veterans Art Museum in Chicago will often find there's no one manning the front desk, but a bell brings Jerry Kickish running.
Be right down then. Yes, ma'am, we're open. Hold on a second, I'll get you.
Kickish is the South Loop Museum's general manager and one of only two full-time employees. The museum's incurred a lot of debt due to expensive rehab projects and high utility bills. Despite the financial woes, Kickish, a Vietnam veteran himself, says the museum is increasingly important today, given the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I don't think that this country as a whole has really had to deal with or face the issues that veterans have to deal with for a long time. Now, you know, it's coming home. You know, more and more veterans are coming back and they are realizing that, you know, there's more to a soldier returning home than a welcome home parade.
That's something Kickish and his fellow Vietnam veteran artists know well. And it's why they want the museum to be a welcoming place for veterans of the current conflicts. Kickish says the board of directors is even planning to change the museum's name to be inclusive of the new veterans.
Our mission is still the same. We're still exhibiting artwork by soldiers on a subject of war. I think we're just broadening our horizons to include the current crop of veterans. They need a place, too. I mean, we needed a place bad, and they do, too.
Over in the wing here, we have the Aaron Hughes exhibit. And Aaron was in the National Guard and ended up in Iraq. Pretty good stuff, we thought. I mean, artistically speaking.
Artist Aaron Hughes was the first Iraq War veteran to exhibit at the museum. After a 15-month tour, Hughes was looking to show his war-inspired paintings and photographs. That's when Hughes says a friend suggested the National Vietnam Veterans Art Museum.
they're veterans, I'm a veteran. You know, that was the first discussion we had, was about being veterans. You know, I was in the Army, oh, you were in the Marines. Oh, okay, jarhead. No, I mean, it's a joking thing. I mean, there's a common ground there that we can begin to construct a relationship off of.
Hughes says the museum's Vietnam veterans understood the importance of not being labeled by others. In their cases, being called failures. In his case, a hero.
I think a lot of the Iraq veterans are always going to look to the Vietnam veterans for support to work through their experiences. And I think there's a lot of fatherly relationships between the Vietnam veterans and the Iraq veterans. And the mentoring is unbelievable.
Since Hughes's exhibit, three other recent veterans have shown work, and two more have been accepted. The museum is also expanding its approach. Some recent exhibit themes included Women and War and Children of War. Tomorrow, the museum opens a new show, Memories of an Era, Reflections of Our Time. Artist Janine Hill Soldner incorporates into her paintings her father's photos from his Vietnam tours.
I'm glad I can contribute to the dialogue and open up the conversation of families and children in war. And maybe if people see that really, even if families survive a war, it's been with me all my life.
Hill Soldner is not a veteran herself, but she knew her work and her father's photos belonged at the museum after she met a veteran and his wife while visiting there.
The man was in tears and he got up and he left. And the woman looked at me and she said, since we've been married, he's been waking up at night and screaming. And he never cries and he never tells me about it, but he wakes up every night and he screams. She said, after visiting here, I've never seen him cry. He's finally crying. Maybe he'll talk about it now and we can heal. So at that point, I realized I might find a home for my works.
It's real, real life. Maybe not the pretty pictures you see in, you know, at the Contemporary Arts Museum.
Again, museum manager Jerry Kickish. He says he sees a general disinterest in the current wars and their veterans.
When a country decides that it's going to go to war, it needs to have the whole country involved in it because it affects everybody. Right now, it's only been affecting military families, but that can't last for long.
Kickish says that attitude extends to the museum. It can't be sustained without popular support. I'm Stephanie Lecce.
The National Vietnam Veterans Art Museum is located in Chicago at 1801 South Indiana Avenue. The website is at nvvam.org. The museum is usually open Tuesday through Saturday, but it will be open this coming Sunday, Veterans Day. Not a bad Friday or Saturday in the forecast, but Sunday we're going to see a revisitation of some rain. Some showers will move in for Sunday and Monday. Our forecast from Scott Oltoff, our meteorologist, calls for a partly to mostly sunny day today across the two-state area, with highs from 49 in the north to 63 south, 55 degrees are high in Champaign-Urbana, with northwest winds at 6 to 12 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, the lows from 30 in the north to 38 in the south, 31 in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny again and rather mild, the highs from 50 north to 62 south, Champaign-Urbana's high at 58. Tomorrow night, increasing clouds with a low of 42, and then for Sunday, cloudy, breezy, and a chance of showers with a high of 58. Looking ahead to Monday, cloudy, a chance of showers, and a high of 65. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.